Everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Very quickly, it's holiday season, so lots of interesting chilas, things about foods and this and that, and official aqua, official this, official that. Very interesting chila. So I know of a bocher, and he called me up a few days ago, Svadi, and he said to me, I want to ask a question. I said, yeah, go for it. So he says to me, he went to this camp, camp ripoff, and he's gone to this camp, a few thousand pounds, and he said to him, I don't know about the kosher, it's not the kosher, it's kosher. And I said, listen, I'm sure it's kosher. He said, yeah, but how do you really know? I said to him, if you want to know about kosher, what's the first thing you should always do? I said, go in the kitchen when no one's there, have a look around. He wouldn't do that. So I said, speak to the mishgiach. So he goes into the mishgiach, his camp, wherever it is, and he walks in. And he's Svadi, remember? And he tells me that he spoke to the Mashgiach, and he asked the Mashgiach, what's the shah? And the Mashgiach says, well, you know, every morning, he goes in, long beard, looks very religious, and he lights all the, turns on the oven, turns on the stoves, and unlocks the cupboards, whatever else. And then the non-Jewish caterers, whatever they are, they go and they cook all the food, right? So we know, hopefully, it's only half an hour, we know that, again, according to Ashkenazim, that was going to be okay. I'm going to explain why, and we're going to kind of go through the Shiloh, why if Svadin, this could be a major, 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 major issue. There's a general Issa of Bishul Akum. It's Issa de Rabbanan, the one of Odezara, and Issa has two reasons for it. Most people will tell you the only reason for Bishul Akum is what?
Which means kosher.
So the kosher places can make money. Yeah, the reason for Bishul Akum is two reasons, right? Most of the Rishonim, if not all the Rishonim, give one of the reasons, which is Tassanus, right? We don't want you to, if once you start eating the food and you start schmoozing and before you know it, you know, you're marrying your daughters, that's not the way to be, and food is always, with Yiddin anyway, it's always, nothing ever happens about food, apart from Yom Kippur. But however, food is like a very, 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 the connection, right? So therefore, don't eat the food. But this, because you might come to Hasfah and marry them. Rashi and the Rashbam brings another reason. Some say that is the only reason. Others say no. Sure, actually, he means both reasons. Rashi also brings a reason of what? What's the reason Rashi brings for proposition Akum? What would be another reason? A logical reason. One is Chasanas and one is. We're worried that it will be strafe. We're worried that if you let non-Jewish people cook for you all the time, eventually you might end up eating something that's strafe. The basic halacha is not like Rashi. The basic halacha is we're worried about chasanas. However, we do want to, if possible, tick both boxes. A major kasher on Rashi is, I don't know anyone for terrorists, I don't. If it's about non-kosher food, then why does it help you if It's not a chosher, but if it's not a chosher, you're okay, and blah, blah, blah. Why would that seemingly help you? I'm not sure according to Rashi. But Lemaisa, the reason for Bishul Akum, the Issa, is one is chasanas, and one is a small reason also for eating treif, but the main reason is going to be chasanas. Okay. How to get out of Bishul Akum? How to stop something being Bishul Akum? Is anyone like, yeah, what's the answer?
It's got
okay. According to the Rama, based on the Mordechai, it's enough, as long as a Yid, at the beginning of the day, or whenever the food's going to be cooked, turns on the flame, or turns on the oven, that's no longer called Bishul Akum, that's called a Yid being significantly involved. Based on this, many, many restaurants are able to survive without having a from chef, and many, even extenuating circumstances, you can rely on pilot lights and the apps and whatever else to turn on a factory in, I don't know, Rivita land over there or wherever it is from here, and they're giving it a pass this round, whatever else. Big pass is a different case. But the Maisa, as long as Ashkenazim, as long as you're involved in turning on the oven, turning on the age, that's going to be enough. Everyone's with me?
So your pilot light, and it goes on for 50 years?
No, so the way the base, I'll tell you, so the truth is, the way the London base bin, if you buy Rivita, yeah. No, so I'm going to tell you. That's going to be next. So I'm going to tell you. So the way that many Hechsherim work is, remember, Pas Yisrael, when it comes to Pas Yisrael, Pas Palta, bread, we're much more lenient. Even the Sfardim are much more lenient. But in theory, as long as the Yid's turning on the oven, that's going to be fine. Lechatchil of Ashkenazim. to Pas Yisrael, to make something bread that's Pas Yisrael l'chatchila, even for Sfardim, as long as the Jew turns on the fire, it's okay. That's how what we rely on with the cardboard stuff, what's it called, Rivitas, right? It says Pas Yisrael on the back. How is it Pas Yisrael? It looks like a box, right? A cut-up box. But Lemaisa, what they're relying on is the fact that a Yid goes in there, turns on the pilot light, whatever it is, and all the cooking for the next, 408 years is fine because the Yid turned on the flame. For Bishul Akum, that's going to be a massive issue. Because again, maybe it would only work for the Ramah, and maybe even the Ramah would say that's not great since it's not being done every day. Okay, fine. But for Pas Yisrael, we're more maple, and therefore that's probably what they rely on if it is considered food at all. Okay.
Can I have a question?
Yeah.
What heating, from raw?
Okay, so Bishul Akum, one way of Bishul Akum not being Bishul Akum, according to Ashkenazim, is if a Jew lights the fire. Yeah, there is even more maple shitters than that. That's the one that Ramah goes with L'chat Chila. Another way that something is not Bishul Akum is if it can be eaten raw, meaning because the non-Jew didn't do anything. I could have eaten it. You can't usher it. So again, you get into massive shiners, which is, what about sushi? Sushi, everyone eats sushi raw. So I thought about this and I said, well, that's very interesting. Maybe there's no Bishul Akum by fish anymore. Oh boy, sorry. Sushi. Watch how do people eat sushi. The fact that you can buy tuna mayonnaise sushi and cooked sushi means that most people don't eat it raw. But even the ones that do, mostly they wrap it in rice, they wrap it in this, they wrap it in this, a little mango in there, they put this in there, they dip it in the bread, mayonnaise. I don't know if that's called eating raw. I don't know if that's called any more eating raw fish than eating raw onions in a salad. I don't know. But the mice, in theory, if you literally would eat that fish raw, then yeah, you're right, there wouldn't be an Bishul Akum, but none of the Hefcherim are made called by sushi, but because of what I'm saying, because people are not comfortable enough with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, if you've got a food that is what we called par-baked, where they cook it in the factory, and then by the time you receive it, all you need to do is complete the cooking process. An example would be? A microwave is going to be a separate shayla, not a gish. But the first shayla, first of all, is food that's just been cooked and how you're going to finish off the process. This is how it works with chips, not crisps, the French fries, chips, McCain's, all of these, I don't know how it works, I'm sharing which ones do and which ones don't. But the mice, assuming that they're kosher, which I assume they are, haven't checked, is that they cook them in the factory, and by the time they freeze them, they don't cook them enough that they're edible, they won't be geschmack. But if you defrost oven chips and eat them, they're not going to be rock hard like a raw potato because they're cooked. They're just not cooked 100%. They're cooked a third, cooked half. According to Ashkenazim, that's the chatchila. Even if a non-Jew cooks the food and you finish off the process, the chatchila, according to Sfardim, it's more problematic. But anyway, with chips, Rav Belsky brings by the OU, that it's not a choshuva food. And for something to be Bishul Akum, it has to be something that will be served at a banquet and everything else. Not a Trump banquet. I was not talking to someone about this. And he said, what do you mean? Donald Trump had a sugar in the White House and he gave them fast food. Yeah. It's not about that. That's what Chazal considered to be a choshuva thing, which would be a choshuva banquet, something like that, at a Buckingham Palace, whatever else. Okay. So if it's raw, it's not Bishul Akum. If according to Ashkenazim, if a Yid turns on the fire, it's not Bishul Akum. Oh, okay, they're the main two. And if it's mostly cooked by a Jew, it's also not Bishul Akum. Okay. So now, you've got a Sfardi boy who goes to a camp. He goes to a camp and the kitchen is turned, the fire is turned on by a Yid, and for the rest of the day, the non-Jewish, they just cook the food. There's no problem with kashrus, he's going in and out, but Lemaisa, he's not putting the food on the stove. He's not mixing it, he's not doing anything else, right? He's just turning on the fire and the chatchila for the Ramah, Ashkenaz, and that's the chatchila, and that's the minhag, that's what we rely on. What about Sfardi? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring it. The Shulchan Aruch says, if you want your food to not be Bishul Akum, what do you need to do? You need to have a Yid put that food on the fire. Finish. And the Ramah says, no, it's enough even if we turn on the fire. But according to Shulchan Aruch, that's Sfardim, a Yid has to get that food and put it on the fire. For a Vajah al Chuba, what if the food's already there, and then the Yid turns on the fire, maybe that'd be okay as well. But according to the Poshuk Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, if I go along and I turn on the fire, and then my non-Jewish person comes along and he puts on the food, that Bishul Akum is us, so you can't eat it. The Ramah says it's okay. L'chatchila is okay. Yeah, everyone's with me? So we're not talking here like, Shulchan Aruch will sometimes say, well, it's us, you should be machmir, Erev Shabbos, or Shavuot, if you have to, you can eat it. He doesn't even bring the shitter. So he doesn't hold by it, Choyra, right? Seeming in the remark, no holds by it, the Chatchila. Very, very interesting. That's hitter number one. So far, there's nothing to rely on for a Sephardi boy, Sephardi boch, or whatever else to eat in the camp. There's also a major shayla where, in yeshivas, you've got yeshivas which also rely on this. You've got restaurants, most Mahajan restaurants rely on this. I was once in a restaurant, and I was ordering something there, like a grill kind of place, and there was I assume it was Sephardi next to me, and he said to the non-Jewish person, can I put the food on the grill? So I said to the non-Jewish person, I said, no, that's my job. So he said to me, no, I please let me... So the non-Jewish person said, no, we've had this before. The Mashiach said, he turned on the fire, and he said, I asked the person, what was the problem? And he said, because I'm Sephardi, and it's not enough for me, and whatever else, and whatever he went, fine. To be honest, I ate at the restaurant and definitely wasn't fit to be served at Royal Bank, but anyway, but the Maisa, in theory, it's a problem. The question is like this, though, again. The first thing I said to this boy was, listen, you're worried about Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum's only Bishul Akum if it's a hoshah for food, right? The last time I was in camp or yeshiva, I mean, once they say a story in the mirror, that cat jumped in the cholent and it tasted better, right? So that's just a joke, yeah? But the Maisa, how's it Bishul Akum anyway? It's not fit for a king, it's not fit for Cornish. What do you mean? You're only eating it if you're stuck in a field in Wales, yeah? So the problem with that shitter is what? Where do you draw the line? If you start saying, well, it's only Bishul Akum if it's nice. What's nice mean? Well, my wife's schnitzels, they're very nice, they're nice and oily. My mother-in-law's schnitzels, they're a bit dry. So they're not Bishul Akum. So you have to have parameters of foods being Bishul Akum or not being Bishul Akum. You're going to get into grey areas of things like crisps. You're going to say, well, I can buy the supermarket crisps as long as they've got 489742229, they're all printed on the back and they're only 12p and they taste like, you know, bribery too. But the Maisa, but the Walkers, oh my god, they're more choshen. No, if crisps are mutter, they're mutter. Kettle chips, it's organic. The boy sigh. If it's mutter, it's mutter. So you're saying crisps are mutter. Many boys can say, no, this is a bit awkward. But what about roast potatoes? Where do you draw the line? So the Maisa, everything is a big, a bit of, no pun intended, a bit of a cholent, which definitely is not fit for a king's table, except if it's mine. But the way it works is like this. Normally most places can go by the finished product. Yeah, meaning like this. Some don't, everyone argues, don't stop throwing stuff at me. But the Maisa, most hechsherim go by what we call the finished product, which means how does it look now? So we don't say, whoa, a packet of supermarket crisps that cost 12p, you know, that's Bishul Akum. Why? Because if you gave whatever some chef about the same potatoes and he just sauteed them and fried them, it would be a choshev of food. No, we go by that would be Bishul Akum, that's a choshev of food, and the crisps are not, normally, generally speaking. Okay, so when you have things like chicken and meat and steaks and things like that, we say basically it's always a choshev of food. Because in essence, it is a choshev of food, it's just you don't know how to cook. No offence. Okay, but yeah, everyone with me, that it is a grey area of how to define it, but generally speaking, things like meat are considered choshev of foods. Fish normally is considered a choshev of food. Things like vegetables you can eat raw are fine anyway. So, and then there's a grey area in the middle of things like how to define chips, crisps, versus like nice roast potatoes and things like that. Okay, so according to where we are now, you can't eat the food. Because a yid is turning on the fire, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring it as a heter, therefore you can't eat the food. Everyone's with me? Okay. There's another tzad in Bishul Akum where you can be mekul, which is brought down in the poskim, which is if it's a toisvus in a avodah zarah, and a toisvus brings two opinions about why you would get around Bishul Akum. One of them is what? That if it's cooked in a Jewish home, it's not considered Bishul Akum. Toisvus bring this, and the Torah also brings it, right? If it's cooked in a Jewish home, meaning you're a non-Jewish person, cooks food in a Jewish home, it's not Bishul Akum. And he says, why is it not Bishul Akum? Well, first of all, we don't have to worry about kashrus, because it's a Jewish home. And second of all, we don't have to worry about customers, because when you're in your own home, you're not going to get that same social, you're not going to start, you know, trying to be like the non-Jewish person. You're in your house, your pictures are gedolim everywhere.
So you've got a gezeira, because the whole gezeira is because of kashrus. So
the whole gezeira is because of kashrus, and maybe because of kashrus as well. Yeah. And therefore, it's not shayach in a home. So therefore, toys for spring, a shitter, that you could be made called the food cooked in a Jewish home. Yeah.
But in a Jewish home, it still depends who puts on the light.
No. So, again, according to Tosfos, step one, if a Jew turns on the fire, Ashkenazim, it's fine, Sephardim, it's not. Step two, Tosfos bring in a Jewish home, there is no issur official akum, it doesn't matter who turned on anything, it's in your home, it's not shayach. However, Rabbeinu Tam on that Tosfos says absolutely not. Where do you ever see such a thing that you can take a gezeira and you can say, well, the reason for the gezeira is this, and you know, the Rishonim a thousand years later can turn around and say, well, you know, they wouldn't have said it. You can't say such a thing. And if you could, we could say it. We could say it everywhere. So Rabbeinu Tam rejects it out of hand. Rejects it out of hand. There's no such kula to be soimachom whatsoever. And the Mechaber himself, in the beginning of Kuf Yud Gimel, even says, if Bishul Akum would apply in certain cases, and if it's cooked in a Jewish home, awesome. And it's not like the Mechaber. Sometimes the Mechaber would say, listen, Yeshom Rim, if it happened, with the Evid, you can eat it. If it's Erev Shabbos, if you're going to lose money, nothing. Awesome. You cannot eat the food. So according to the Mechaber, although yes, Tosfos bring both opinions, he usses it completely. Even if it's cooked in a Jewish home, it's not going to help you at all. Everyone's with me?
Yeah.
The Ramah says, and the Ramah doesn't mention anything there. So again, the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to cooking in a Jewish home, go like Rabbeinu Tam, and they don't mention this heter whatsoever. So, step one, lighting a fire. If it's done by a Yid, you're fine. If you're Ashkenazi, if you're Sephardim, you're not. Yeah? Step two, if it's cooked in a Jewish home, regardless of who lit the fire, there's Tosfos states mutter, but the Shulchan Aruch, go like Rabbeinu Tam, and so there's a Ramah, that you cannot have it at all, even b'dieved. Everyone's with me? So far, no good. Because one in the camp, he did the flame that a non-Jew did all cooking, so it's not going to help us, Farthing. And step two is, yeah, even if you say a camp, if it's your home for the next month or whatever else, doesn't help you, because anyway, we don't go with that. Is everyone with me? Yep. Okay, step three is a massive finish, which may surprise people. There is a halacha brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, which the Ramah says you can rely on b'dieved, and the Shulchan Aruch brings down both opinions. But we have a rule that when the Shulchan Aruch brings down two opinions using the same lashon, yesh this and yesh this, we go with the second one. What's the halacha? That if the food is cooked by a, not a Michelin star chef, if the food is cooked by an employee, someone who's only cooking because you're paying them, they don't like you, they're not your friend, they don't want to spend time with you, they work for you, you pay them, and they cook your food. So once they cook your food, the Mechaber brings, that's not called Bishul Akum, because that's not what you're going to marry them. You have no shyness to them. It's someone who works here. They come in, they cook your food, and they leave. So there's no problem of chasiness. And again, the Choyra, there's no problem of kashrus as well, because again, you're not going to give them the food, whatever else. Therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, Yeshom Rim, that you can rely on this, and Yeshom Rim that you can't. And we have a rule in the Mechaber that where he brings two Yeshom Rims, we go with the second one. But it's not like Asa. It's not like, you know, it's Asa. It's a yesh, a yesh. So the fire is a no-go. The Jewish home is a no-go. But the employee is a ray of light. Because a ray of light, the Shulchan Aruch brings it as a maybe. Yeah, yesh this. And he brings it. If a non-Jewish employee cooks your food, it's going to be mutter. It's going to be eaten. But then he says, some say it's Asa, even b'dieved. And that's how we go as a halachic rule, but he does bring the concept of being lenient.
How would you believe, why is the gezeira no more a choshev there than it is in that house?
We're going to see. Why would he be machmir there and make here? A house is probably more is a reality of where you are. I don't exactly. It could be. Look, I'll answer, but I don't have a strong answer. But what I would say is like this: if you're make or buy at a Jewish home, so in theory I can go, I can invite all the neighbours round, they can all come in, we can all have, as long as it's my house, as long as I give them the food, and we can have a cooking contest, and we can eat together and schmooze together. That's very different from, you know, Ina the cleaner, who comes once a week at random times, doesn't speak English, has to use Google Translate cooking some food. There's no shyness, right? So again, there is a difference between the two cases.
If the guy's rozzled by you.
Okay, so they bring that. They bring like this, that what if they're always by you, and it's like, what, well, their mother's help, and they go on holiday with you. So there maybe the heter wouldn't apply. Yeah. But if it's a goy but there's no friendliness, they come round, they cook your food and they leave, many are equal. And this could apply even to things like hotels, restaurants. You don't know the people, you're not interested in them. They would, if you don't pay them, they're not going to shop for it. So therefore there's no customers, yeah, you're not, okay.
So every manufacturer has got their heter.
So well, if Moisha brings down things like he was a little bit maple for, let's say, a factory. Yeah. But if it's a factory in the middle of like Ohio and you're in Brooklyn, so he says maybe you could be maple because there's no chashash of customers, but he says, it's not the best thing to rely on. Okay. Again. So with the fire, ash sfardim, it's a no-go whatsoever. It doesn't even bring the maple shitter. With the Jewish home, again, it's a no-go. He says, awesome. The only time the Shulchan Aruch is meikul a bit is by the employee where he says, yesh v'yesh, and the rule is we go with the second one, which is you shouldn't have it. Okay. So far, we don't really have anything to go with. Yeah, we don't really have much to go with. Okay, however, this last case, the Rama, brings the following etzah. Where the Shulchan Aruch brings about the employee, the Rama says, yeah, pity ever you can eat it. But he says the chatchila you can eat it if. When do you think you can? Putting all of this together, the chatchila, the Rama says, if it's in a Jewish home cooked by a Jewish employee, you can the chatchila eat it, according to the Rama.
Nice.
Yeah? Well, it might not be, I don't know if it works for you. Yeah, but Lamaisa, if you think about it, why? Because there's no tzad in either case. One, you know it's kashrus, and one, you know you're not good. It's an employee anyway, and it's two makel opinions, you put them together, the Rama says that's a chatchila. Yeah? So a Jewish home, cooked by a Jewish employee, according to Ashkenazim, is going to be a chatchila okay. So everyone's getting excited. Don't be excited, because all of the Achorinim argued, or Hashulchan, all of them, the Shach on the side, they all bring, you can't be, it's not the Chatchila, maybe B'dieved, if it's already done, you can eat it, but no one really goes to the Rama whatsoever. No one really goes to the
whatsoever. What's the child? Yiddish play, Yiddish worker,
yeah.
And Yiddish house,
yeah.
So he's Yiddish cook, what's wrong with him? There's nothing wrong with you.
No, maybe I said it wrong. A non-Jewish employee, excuse me. I apologize. A non-Jewish employee, a non-Jewish employee in a Yiddish home is lechatchila, according to the Rama, that everyone argues. Yeah, everyone argues. Yeah, is everyone clear now? Thank you for that. Yeah, a non-Jewish employee working in a Yiddish home, there's no problem with Bishul Akum, according to the Rama, because you're not going to marry them and everything's kosher. That everyone argues, and even B'dieved, many are not happy with this. Okay. Okay. Rav Avadi Yosef, I had a look. What's his bocha going to do? He's in yeshiva, he's wherever he is, he's in camp. What's he going to do? How's he going to eat the food? All you've got is a Jew going in and turning on the flame, a non-Jew's cooking the food. Maybe it's also considered a house, maybe it's not. And then you've got definitely cooked by an employee. So what can we do here? Because really you don't have any suffix. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring the fire Shaila, he doesn't bring it at all, that's usher. He doesn't bring the Jewish home as being mutter, he ushers it completely. So you've got yesh for yesh with the employee, but we go with the second yesh. So it seems very, very difficult to be makel. Rabbi Vadya is makel. He allows the boy, the bocha, to eat at the yeshiva. He allows, I guess, in the camp, it would be the same din, probably maybe even more so, I don't know. How? So how is he makel? Rabbi Vadya brings in, he brings in chiddush like this. There's a concept in halacha called sveika, which basically means if you have multiple sveikas, multiple opinions to rely on, even if they're not mainstream opinions, so to speak, you can kind of put them together and be lenient. So if you have two genuine suffix that are independent from each other to rely on, you can be makel even in an issa d'oraisa. Yeah, two genuine suffix, you can be makel even issa d'oraisa, depending on the suffix, right? But two independent suffix, you can be makel. Everyone's with me? Sveika, two different suffix. So what does Rav Avadya bring here? Rav Avadya brings like this. First of all, in regards to turning on the fire, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring it. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring the fact that a Yid can turn on the fire, right? A non-Jew can turn on the fire. He says that's Bishul Akum. The Rama brings it, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't. So, says Rav Avadya, hold on a second. Hold on a second. If it is a Safek, maybe the halacha is like the Ramah. Maybe the halacha is it's mutter. It's a mortifier, a Roshoinen. Maybe the halacha is as long as a yid turns on the flame, it's not Bishul Akum. Yeah, the Beis Yosef doesn't bring it. Yeah, but maybe that's okay. That's one Safek, Safek number one. Everyone's with me? Then he brings Safek number two, is maybe a Jewish home's okay. Yeah, the Mechaber, Beis Yosef, he says it's Asur. But listen, there are opinions that it's mutter. So maybe that's also okay. Right, and then say it's okay, maybe it's okay, and he brings three suffix. It's not even a six faker, it's a six faker. Three, and the third suffix is the employee suffix. Maybe the employee's okay. The Machaber brings yesh for yesh, but okay, the rule is we go with the second yesh, so we don't have to be glut with it, yeah? No pun intended, you have to glut. At the end of the day, it's for shasim chak, it's not an easy situation. The bocha's got to eat, right? He doesn't eat, he's gonna get hungry. So the mice can't, so you may call, because it's three suffix. Suffix number one is maybe the halakha is like the remark and the yid can turn on the fire and that's enough. Suffix number two is maybe a Jewish home is okay. And suffix number three is maybe employee is also okay. Three suffix, right? So he thinks three suffix is therefore the bocha can eat in the camp, the bocha can eat in the shiva, even if the only thing that you did was turn on the fire. Is everyone with me?
You can do that with
any
halacha.
What?
You can do that with anything, with any halacha.
That's for a separate day. That's for a separate day. How to apply six acre. Good question. It's just going to take too long, but it's an excellent question. Okay. All the Sfardi poiskim from the generation of Masters, of Ben Sion, they come along and say, what on earth? No, this doesn't work. You can't rely on six acre here. Rav Vajra, why not? Because they bring a rule, you can only rely on a six faker against the Mechaber, against the Shulchan Aruch, yeah, who is the god of the halachim for the Sfardim, when he brings it. You can't bring a six faker when he rejects it out of hand. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says, light a fire, that's enough. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring it. He says, awesome. It's not called a six faker, it's called going against the Shulchan Aruch. Your suffix number two, Jewish home. Jewish home. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring that either. He says it's asur. It's not called a suffix. A suffix is called...
Yeah, hold on.
What?
Yes,
One second. We've only got 6 hours. Okay. So the way it's working is like this. So suffix number one is Nishna suffix because the fire he doesn't bring being maker at all. Suffix number two, Jewish home, he doesn't bring being maker at all. He describes it as asur. It doesn't even say bidyev if you can eat it. But suffix number three, okay, there you have a suffix. Well, yesh for yesh, an employee, maybe it's mutter, maybe it's not. But we don't paskin like that at all. We paskin like the second suffix. So you don't have a six faker. You don't. So therefore, they don't really understand how a Ravadja can be maker in such a case. Right? So that's what they write. And they say, maybe if it was a yesh and a yesh and a couple, but here he, osa, suffix. That's not a six faker. You can't just grab random poiskim and say, well, a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of that, make a cholera, yeah, fish off, come right. Lemaisa, Rav Vadya, wrote Shuvas a few years later, you'll be all in there, where he answers up the Shilas. And he says like this, listen. He goes a little bit more less charif, and he says, listen, if you don't want to eat it, you will have a bracha, you don't have to eat it, if a bocha wants to be machmir, but there's no reason to be machmir, and he explains why. First of all, he says like this. He says, listen, first of all, the Chidah brings that you can use a six faker against the Beis Yosef. He even brings different things about how those poiskim who are against him did it themselves and other tshuvas. But the main reason Rav Vadya says is like this. You want to tell me that if a yid turns on the fire, it's still Bishul Akum, according to the Beis Yosef, right? And we want to say, well, that's a something. Maybe that happens like the Ramah. And you want to say, well, but the Beis Yosef rejects it out of hand. That's not called a something. But Rav Vadya says, what do you mean? Half of Klal Yisrael keep this halacha. You're telling me Rav Eliyashiv, who he sits on the Beis Din with, would eat this food, right? The Ramah, the whole Ashkenazi world relies on this psak. All the major hechsherim, that's called a suffix. That's called a suffix, yeah? Yeah, the Beis Yosef doesn't bring it. That's called a suffix. And he says with the employee, again, it's a yesh for yesh. And the Jewish home, again, Jewish home, okay, we don't like the Jewish home, but a Jewish home with an employee, the Ramah says it's lechatchila. So at the end, to say that these are not suffix, of course they're suffix. Half the Jewish world go according to these opinions, and therefore they're suffix. If you want to be machmeh, but there's no reason to be, because there are six fakers, and therefore he paskins, you can eat the food. And I'll just finish by saying, he also says it's a durabonin, By Durabonin, generally we're more lenient because we're more makel with Durabonin things. And he even brings Ravaja, you should know, in another tshuva, in Yubi'ayim, he brings like this. By Gluck Kosher, we're going to finish it under a minute. By Gluck Kosher, he brings a similar svara. The Ashkenazim, generally speaking, the Ramah is makel by Gluck Kosher, and the Svardim are super, super stringent, meaning like this. They hold Gluck Beit Yosef, which means it has to be, the lung has to be completely clean. Very, 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 very stringent with this. So Ravadia had to answer up for the Rabbanut. How can the Rabbanut serve meat that does not chalak Beit Yosef? And if they do chalak Beit Yosef, then it's going to be three times the price. So what are you going to do? So Ravadia brings a tshuva, and he says it's six acre. By a derisa, by treifas, by a derisa. What does Ravadia say that the suffix is? Suffix number one. Who says it's not chalak Beit Yosef? I say we shechted it, we checked it, but we don't know. Not every animal that we say is not Beit Yosef is not Beit Yosef. Maybe it's still a clean lung. We don't check every single one, I assume, in those times. It could be it still. And even if it's not, and it's not glut, maybe the halach is like the Ramah anyway, and you don't have to have glut. So Rav Avadia himself, by an Issa Deraisa of glut kosher for the Rabbanut, was makel for Svardim, that maybe it's glut anyway, and even if it's not, maybe you don't need glut and you can rely on the Ramah. So six fakers by Durabon or Deraisa, the kosher is by Avadia's makel, and I told the bracha that he can eat it, and because if he doesn't, then he'll have a bracha, but Lamaisa, he'll be very hungry.
Yeah. 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 Very nice.